football friend nachos. This is Brain Damage. Actually, the name of the show is Brain Damage. The name of me is Matt. The name of you is totally irrelevant. The time is now 8 minutes later than the show should have started, but this is Brain Damage after all, and we have to believe in my old time dilation factor. Show never starts on time around here. So, I have waiting on the line four people, plus the poetry guy. Actually, I have the poetry guy and four non-persons, whichever. Anyway, and a fifth. Okay, the Anyone Can Host, Progress the Anyone Can Host contest, I have to say, has been dismal. I got another one. I got a picture of Inspector Clouseau, who's been dead for 14 years. So I got one functioning human being who sent in a letter several weeks ago, and I got another from a dead person. You guys are pathetic. And with that, introducing the poetry guy. Hey, what's up?
Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to keep you waiting.
That's no problem. So anyway, first I want to mention that I got some pretty good news about for what we could do for Halloween.
Oh, good.
But we can talk about that later.
Okay.
But I'm trying to decide, you know, I got these two books and I really don't know what I want to read from. And I don't know, they're both kind of similar, so I thought maybe you could help me.
Both at the same time.
Well, there's only one of him.
Two eyes.
Oh, well, yeah, but only one mouth. Okay, which two?
Well, either the Catcher in the Rye, or you know that book I was reading from last time about that monster?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was trying to decide between those two, but I can't really...
You know, go with Catcher in the Rye. I don't think it's required reading anymore in most of the schools, so this will probably be fresh material for most of the people out there. So I'd do that.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What I'm going to do is I'm going to probably, like, read this whole book, you know, every week. Like, you know, a little from it every week.
Okay. So we'll have our weekly Catcher in the Rye excerpt. I like that.
Yeah. All right. Well, maybe then I'll read the first chapter. It's just a few pages.
Well, let's see. How much time do you think that would take if you read it aloud?
Well, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. It's like 7 pages. I don't know.
You know what? Read the first two and see how we go. See how it goes.
All right.
Okay? Okay. I'm going to step out for a second, but now the entire floor is yours.
Can you hear me all right?
Oh, I can hear you perfectly. Yeah, you're sounding perfect. All I'm doing right now is turning down my microphone so I don't override you at all.
Okay, but do you know if it's, like, coming out to the, you know, speakers loud enough?
Perfect.
Oh, okay.
It's coming up on the meters perfectly.
All right, cool.
Okay, go for it.
All right, this is The Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger, sort of a recluse of an author. We haven't heard from him in quite a while. Here's the first chapter. If you really want to hear about it, the first thing you'll probably want to know is where I was born and what my lousy childhood was like and how my parents were occupied and all before they had me and all that David Copperfield kind of bull. But I don't feel like going into it if you want to know the truth. In the first place, that stuff bores me. And in the second place, my parents would have about 2 hemorrhages apiece if I told anything pretty personal about them. They're quite touchy about anything like that, especially my father. They're nice and all. I'm not saying that, but they're also touchy as hell. Besides, I'm not going to tell you my whole goddamn autobiography or anything. I'll just tell you about this madman stuff that happened to me around last Christmas, just before I got pretty run down and had to come out here and take it easy. I mean, that's all I told DB about, and he's my brother and all. He's in Hollywood. That isn't too far from this crummy place, and he comes over here and visits me practically every weekend. He's going to drive me home when I go home next month, maybe. He just got a Jaguar, one of those little English jobs that can do around 200 miles an hour. It cost him damn near $4,000. He's got a lot of dough now. He didn't used to. He used to be just a regular writer when he was home. He wrote this terrific book of short stories, The Secret Goldfish, in case you never heard of him. The best one in it was The Secret Goldfish. It was about this little kid that wouldn't let anybody look at his goldfish because he bought it with his own money. It killed me. Now he's out in Hollywood, DB, being a prostitute. If there's one thing I hate, it's the movies. Don't even mention them to me. Where I want to start telling is the day I left Pensy Prep. Pensy Prep is this school that's in Agerstown, Pennsylvania. You probably heard of it. You've probably seen the ads anyway. They advertise in about 1,000 magazines, always showing some hotshot guy on a horse jumping over a fence. It's like as if all you ever did at Pensy was play polo all the time. I never even once saw a horse anywhere near the place. And underneath the guy on the horse's picture, it always says, "Since 1888, we have been molding boys into splendid, clear-thinking young men." Strictly for the birds. They don't do a damn more molding at Pensy than they do at any other school. And I didn't know anybody there that was splendid and clear-thinking and all. Maybe two guys, if that many. And they probably came to Pensy that way. That's the first two pages.
Okay. Actually, now that I think about it, now I'm trying to remember from when I read it, maybe you should go into it a little bit more.
Keep reading?
Yeah, keep going.
All right. Anyway, it was the Saturday of the football game with Saxon Hall. The game with Saxon Hall was supposed to be a very big deal around Pensy. It was the last game of the year, and you were supposed to commit suicide or something if old Pensy didn't win. I remember around 3 o'clock that afternoon, I was standing way the hell up on top of Thompson Hill, right next to this crazy cannon that was in the Revolutionary War and all. You could see the whole field from there, and you could see the two teams bashing each other all over the place. Couldn't see the grandstand too hot, but you could hear them all yelling deep and terrific on the Pensy side, because practically the whole school except me was there, and scrawny and faggy on the Saxon Hall side, because the visiting team hardly ever brought many people with them. There were never many girls at all the football games. Only seniors were allowed to bring girls with them. It was a terrible school, no matter how you looked at it. I like to be somewhere at least where you can see a few girls around once in a while, even if they're only scratching their arms or blowing their noses or even just giggling or something. Old Selma Thurmer, she was the headmaster's daughter, showed up at the games quite often, but she wasn't exactly the type of girl that drove you mad with desire. She was a pretty nice girl, though. I sat next to her once in the bus from Agerstown, and we sort of struck up a conversation. I liked her. She had a big nose, and her nails were all bitten down and bleedy-looking, and she had on those damn falsies that point all over the place. But you felt sorry for her. What I liked about her, she didn't give you a lot of horse manure about what a great guy her father was. She probably knew what a phony slob he was. The reason I was standing way up on Thompson Hill instead of down at the game was because I just got back from New York with the fencing team. I was the goddamn manager of the fencing team. Very big deal. We'd gone into New York that morning for this fencing meet with McBurney School. Only we didn't have the meet. I left all the foils and equipment and stuff on the goddamn subway. It wasn't all my fault. I mean, I had to, you know, keep getting up to look at this map so we'd know where to get off. So we got back to Pensy around 2:30 instead of around dinner time. The whole team ostracized me the whole way back on the train. It was pretty funny, in a way. The other reason I wasn't down at the game was because I was on my way to say goodbye to old Spencer, my history teacher. He had the grip, and I figured I probably wouldn't see him again till Christmas vacation started. And he wrote me this note saying he wanted to see me before I went home. He knew I wasn't coming back to Pensy. I forgot to tell you about that. They kicked me out. I wasn't supposed to come back after Christmas vacation on account of I was flunking 4 subjects and not applying myself and all. They gave me frequent warnings to start applying myself, you know, especially around midterms when my parents came up for a conference with old Thurman. But I didn't do it, so I got the axe. They give guys the axe quite frequently at Pensy. It has a very good academic rating, Pensy. It really does. Anyway, it was December and all, and it was cold as a witch's teat, especially on top of that stupid hill. I only had on my reversible and no gloves or anything. The week before that, somebody'd stolen my camel's hair coat right out of my room with my fur-lined gloves right in the pocket and all. Pensy was full of crooks. Quite a few guys came from these very wealthy families, but it was full of crooks anyway. The more expensive a school is, the more crooks it has. I'm not kidding. Anyway, I kept standing next to that crazy cannon, looking down at the game and freezing my ass off. Only I wasn't watching the game too much. What I was really hanging around for, I was trying to feel some kind of a goodbye. I mean, I've left schools and places I didn't even know I was leaving them. I hate that. I don't care if it's a sad goodbye or a bad goodbye, but when I leave a place, I like to know I'm leaving it. If you don't, you feel even worse. I was lucky. All of a sudden, I thought of something that helped make me know I was getting the hell out. I suddenly remembered this time in around October that I and Robert Tishner and Paul Campbell were chucking a football around in front of the academic building. They were nice guys, especially Tishner. It was just before dinner, and it was getting pretty dark out, but we kept chucking the ball around anyway. It kept getting darker and darker, and we could hardly see the ball anymore. But we didn't want to stop doing what we were doing. Finally, we had to. This teacher that taught biology, Mr. Zambesi, stuck his head out of this window in the academic building and told us to go back to the dorm and get ready for dinner. If I get a chance to remember that kind of stuff, I can get a goodbye when I need one. At least most of the time I can. As soon as I got it, I turned around, and I started running down the other side of the hill toward old Spencer's house. He didn't live on the campus. He lived on Anthony Wayne Avenue. I ran all the way to the main gate, and then I waited a second till I got my breath. I have no wind, if you want to know the truth. I'm quite a heavy smoker, for one thing. That is, I used to be, but they made me cut it out. Another thing, I grew 6.5 inches last year. That's also how I practically got TB and came out here for all these goddamn checkups and stuff. I'm pretty healthy, though. Anyway, as soon as I got my breath back, I ran across Route 204. It was icy as hell, and I damn near fell down. I don't even know what I was running for. I guess I just felt like it. And after I got across the road, I felt like I was sort of disappearing. It was that kind of a crazy afternoon, terrifically cold, and no sun out or anything, and you felt like you were disappearing every time you crossed a road. Boy, I rang that doorbell fast when I got to old Spencer's house. I was really frozen. My ears were hurting, and I could hardly move my fingers at all. Come on, come on, I said right out loud almost. Somebody open the door. Finally, old Mrs. Spencer opened it. They didn't have a maid or anything. They always opened the door themselves. They didn't have too much dough. Holden, Mrs. Spencer said. How lovely to see you. Come in, dear. Are you frozen to death? I think she was glad to see me. She liked me. At least I think she did. Boy, did I get in that house fast. How are you, Mrs. Spencer? I said. How's Mr. Spencer? Well, let me take your coat, dear, she said. She didn't hear me ask her how Mr. Spencer was. She was sort of deaf. She hung up my coat in the hall closet, and I sort of brushed my hair back with my hand. I wear a crew cut quite frequently, and I never have to comb it much. How have you been, Mrs. Spencer? I said again, only louder so she'd hear me. I've been just fine, Holden. She closed the closet door. How have you been? The way she asked me, I knew right away old Spencer had told her I'd been kicked out. Fine, I said. How's Mr. Spencer? Is he over his grip yet? Over it? Holden, he's behaving like a perfect... I don't know what. He's in his room, dear. Go right in. That's the first chapter.
Sounds great. God, I've completely forgotten how good that book was. But those of you who want to continue with it, naturally, and don't want to wait for the next excerpt next week, Catcher in the Rye by J.D. Salinger. It is... was at one time, until very recently actually, considered almost a literary rite of passage.
Yeah, it's a very real book. I mean, he just, you know, like he's talking, he just speaks.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, and considering that in its time, that was considered an almost odd point of view, a first-person point of view, it was quite an innovation. The only person who really did that well prior to that was really Mark Twain.
Oh, really? There weren't
that's
any
what
other
I,
authors?
Oh, there were others. That's the one I think of the most, though. Mark Twain, who was really good with that sort of point of view. It almost sounds like a Huckleberry Finn for prep school. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, it does have that kind of a tone. Yeah, he just kind of, like, says it like that.
Of course, the time and place are different, but it seems it's the same person in the two different settings. But I'm sure you can probably go to an American literature lecture here at Stony Brook and talk about that as much as you like. We do have the rest of the show to go through, but I did enjoy it thoroughly.
That's cool.
Yeah, you want to be put on the side and see who I have waiting out here? Or do you want to call back later?
Yeah, put me on the side and then, you know, I'll call back later. I got some stuff to tell you about, whatever.
Okay, I'm going to put you on hold right now. And then you can decide what to do from there. I'm going to scan through the calls right now.
Oh, wait, you mean you don't have anyone yet?
Don't have anyone yet.
Okay, I'll just wait for a while.
Hang on. Brain damage.
Hey, Mr. Wizard Guy.
Yeah, what's going on?
How you doing?
Not
bad. I'm going to update you on the contest.
You're updating me on the contest?
Give everyone the update on the contest.
I just did at the beginning of the show.
Excuse me, why are you in a bad mood?
Oh, I'm in a very bad mood because I got a lousy response. That's why I'm in an extremely bad mood.
Picture of who? Inspector Clouseau?
Inspector Clouseau. I got Inspector Clouseau. The man's been dead for 14 years, and I get one functioning person, and it looks like that person's going to win by default if I don't hear anything in the next week or so.
I just sent mine out yesterday.
Oh, good. I hope I see it.
I sent postage.
Okay.
I plan to beat this guy, or at least try.
Okay.
And how you doing today?
Not bad.
Where's the show going to go?
I don't know.
You don't know?
To hell in a handbasket, for all I know.
Listen, later on?
Yes?
Remember College Guy?
College Guy?
Yeah.
No?
You don't remember College Guy?
Oh, yeah, the guy keeps asking about what college you should go to. I figured he had decided by now.
College Guy did decide, and he's had a metamorphosis.
What'd he turn into?
He hasn't called in 3 months, and he's like close friends, so he's going to call later.
Yeah.
And he's going to call someone else, so we'll wait for that, and we'll be excited, right?
Maybe.
Are you excited?
No.
Why not? You're in such a bad mood. Why?
Well,
you're not your perky self.
Me? Perky? When have I ever been perky?
And you don't have this on, you don't have the timer on either.
The timer?
Yeah, you don't have the 7-second delay.
Oh, I haven't put that on yet. That's right. See ya. I gotta put
that on. Don't hang up.
Why?
I want to sing a song.
No, you can't sing a song until I put the delay on. No, sing your song, and then we'll put the delay on.
All right. Do you like Dutch Painters or The Sun?
Which one's shorter?
The Sun.
Christina Ricci is beautiful.
Shut up. Hello?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's some kid.
She hasn't been in a movie since The Addams Family. Come on.
Yeah, he called before.
She's going to be in a major motion picture known as Casper.
The Friendly Ghost?
Let him just talk.
The same.
Excuse me. Stop beeping in. Listen, I'm going to sing my son's song, and he's not going to interrupt, and then College Guy's going to call later on with his new identity.
Oh, please, go.
Are you excited? Because you got a great show planned for tonight.
I don't have any show planned for tonight. I'm just sitting here in front of a microphone trying to make something resembling a show out of what I have.
All right. Don't go on while I'm singing my song, okay? It's about the sun, okay? You like the sun? You gotta know this. Here's the sun song.
Well, yeah. Go ahead, please.
Right. It's about. I was gonna do it with a glockenspiel.
Go.
The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees. You know it's hot. The sun is not a place where we could live. But here on Earth, there'd be no life without the light it gives. We need its heat, we need its light, we need its energy. The sunlight comes from our own sun's atomic energy. The sun is hot. It is so hot that everything on it is a gas. Iron, nickel, copper, aluminum, and many others. The sun is large. If the sun were hollow, over a million Earths could fit inside. And yet, it's only a middle-sized star. The sun is far away, about 93 million miles away, and that's why it looks so small. And even when it's out of sight, the sun shines night and day. We need its heat, we need its light, we need its energy. The sunlight comes from our own sun, atomic energy. Scientists have found that the sun is a huge atom-smashing machine. The heat and light from the nuclear reactions come from hydrogen, helium, nitrogen, thiamine, many others. The sun is a mass of incandescent gas, a gigantic nuclear furnace, where hydrogen is built into helium at a temperature of millions of degrees.
Ta-da. Okay.
Now, she's beautiful. Thank you.
Oh, God. So,
see ya.
Pat,
yeah.
College guy, if you're out there, college guy, you're going to call, right?
I hope so. Okay, see ya. Gotta go.
Bye-bye.
When I first came to Brookhaven Town, way, hey, 90.1, there was no good music to be heard around, way, hey, 90.1. Then one day I turned down the dial, way, hey, 90.1. There I found music to make me smile, way, hey, 90.1. I waited for a legal ID, way, hey, 90.1. The D. The DJ said WUSB.
Way, hey, 90.1.
They start each day with the rising sun.
Way, hey, 90.1.
Don't ever finish till after day is done.
Way, hey, 90.1.
So if you want good music to hear.
Way, hey, 90.1.
There's a station in Stony Brook you ought to hear.
Way, hey, 90.1.
So if you like the sounds, do take a look.
Way, hey, 90.1.
At WUSB Stony Brook.
Hey, hey, hey.
Okay, welcome back to Brain Damage, another episode, that a half hour of which is in the books, and we continue with whatever is lying around out there. Hi, Bill.
Hey, how you doing?
Oh, what's going on tonight?
Not too much. Just got back on a long day out in Brentwood here.
Mm-hmm.
Just calling to plug the, I don't know if you're up to snuff on the newest tribute album that's out.
Oh, no. What's the newest?
The Carpenter tribute album.
Oh, that one. That's been in the station for about a week or so. You know, I really should play that.
Yeah, I just picked it up yesterday.
Yeah, it's here.
Yeah, it's a great album.
Yeah,
the last 2 days.
Haven't really taken a good look at it, though. But there's only one thing about a Carpenter tribute album. Nobody, but nobody, can match Karen Carpenter's voice.
Oh. Well, the first question is, I mean, when you look at tribute albums and music in general, why would somebody make a Carpenter tribute album? But they did it, and they did a great job with it. As a matter of fact, Richard Carpenter is doing some background vocals on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had seen something in the in one of the newspapers about 6 months ago. I work for 9X, and I told the guys at work, we listen to a lot of music, that you're not going to believe what I saw in a paper. I said, I saw an article about a Carpenter tribute album. They're like, get out of here. I said, one of these days, if I ever see it, I'm buying it. And I bought it. I played it. And, you know, I'm 40 years old, and I, you know, I always liked the Carpenters. And listening to their music redone in a 90s kind of a sound, it's terrific.
Yeah. There's only one thing, though. If I ever hear We've Only Just Begun one more time, I think that song should be outlawed. From
it's a
weddings.
Classic, though.
Yes, I know. They play it at all the weddings. It's almost become equal to Here Comes the Bride in terms of a wedding staple, but it ain't being played at mine.
As bad as it is, though, it is a classic.
Yeah.
But the way that some of these people are doing these songs, it's great. Speaking of tribute albums, I have friends in Sweden, and they brought me the Abbott tribute album done by all the rock bands of Sweden.
Another
terrific album.
That may actually be pretty good, because I could imagine some of ABBA's songs with a nice punk edge to them, and that would be something to hear.
It is, again, punk edge, taking music that was really hokey, you know, listening to it now 20 years ago or 15 years ago when they were out.
It was hokey then.
Yeah, but putting that punk edge to it, and it's great music.
Yeah.
Another album I brought into these guys that, you know, that these guys used to work in the record industry, and they're like, they can't believe what's out there. and they hear something like this, and the way they put this together, and it's great music.
The only thing that scares me about an ABBA tribute or a Carpenters tribute is that it signals a creativity vacuum. It's kind of like what they've been doing in Hollywood, making movies out of 1960s television shows.
Oh, yeah, that's getting out of hand, isn't it?
Okay, which were okay to begin with. The only reason they're classic is because we watched them when we were kids. As TV shows went, they weren't necessarily the best. The really good TV shows, no one's going to make a movie out of, except for Mary Tyler Moore. Broadcast News is the Mary Tyler Moore show in feature format.
Right.
Without a doubt. William Hurt is Ted Baxter. Holly Hunter is Mary. Albert Brooks is Murray. No question about it.
Yeah, good, good. I have a question.
Yeah.
Who's going to play Flipper?
Who's going to play Flipper?
Yeah.
Ooh. Darwin.
About making a Flipper movie.
Darwin.
Okay.
From Sequest, yeah.
But, I mean, you know, all these shows, and they're, rebroadcasting them, and some things just can't be matched. I mean, they were classics because they were done when they were done and the way that they were done, and... I hadn't seen Hillbillies yet. That's on HBO tonight, and I taped it just to see what it was about.
Don't spend any money on it, whatever you do.
Well, no, I taped it off HBO, and I haven't watched it yet, so God knows what it's going to look like. But, you know, perfect example of what's being, you know, recreated out there.
Mm-hmm. But a Carpenter's tribute album. Those of you who are not familiar with them, Karen Carpenter has a voice whose clarity you could liken to Nat King Cole, another person that nobody in our audience knows about. The clarity of the voice, the enunciation, there isn't a single sound coming out of her voice that doesn't belong there.
No, and I have to give credit to the people that did tribute to her songs. They really took the time and effort to really try to put feeling into the words that they were singing on this album.
Mm-hmm. But definitely one of the best voices ever recorded.
Yes.
Karen Carpenter. Tragically gone from us for, what, is it 10 years now?
I'd say about 10 years.
Yeah.
Inside jacket of the CD, which just has dual photos of her and her brother, Richard,
mm-hmm.
one after another. They are identical looking, and it's scary just to...
They're brother and sister. They should be.
I mean, yeah, but I mean, they almost look like twins.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's sad because it reminds you of what, you know, it's no longer there. You know, she's
yeah.
gone. And
the only knock I've ever had on people, it wasn't just Karen Carpenter. It was everybody in the pop genre of the time. The songs were just too sappy. I think if you put Karen Carpenter's voice with either a jazz or R&B background, kind of like what Nat King Cole did, no question
it
would blow you away.
Yeah.
It was a constant problem. Another favorite of mine was is today Whitney Houston. Biggest knock on Whitney Houston I have is that she has never done anything that has anywhere could anywhere near make use of her talent. Mariah Carey, same thing.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's all sappy pop stuff, which sells. Don't
get
me wrong.
Someone's got to coach him into doing something that's really going to pick up another audience.
It sells. Well, come on. She's related to, or not, maybe not related to, but very close to Aretha Franklin. If Aretha Franklin can't get her to do it, who can?
Yeah, that's true. But, I mean, obviously, if she has the talent, they both have the talent to do a lot of different things.
Yeah, they do. But also, I think it has a lot to do with the brains behind it, too. Whitney Houston is intelligent. Mariah Carey has failed to impress me in terms of intelligence.
Yeah.
She sounds stage. She sounds like a 22-year-old bimbo, which in fact she is. What can I say? Okay, I do have another call waiting on this very
well,
same.
I got through,
line.
I was at my girlfriend's son's house, and they were listening to the radio. So let me try to get in here and just say something.
Okay.
Yeah, it's been a pleasure, man.
Okay, thank you.
Take care, guy.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Brain damage.
Oh, hello. Yes. I just want to say that's a song about the sun.
Yeah.
That's a They Might Be Giants song.
Whose?
They Might Be Giants from Brooklyn.
Oh, really? They Might Be Giants. Really? I didn't even know.
Credit for it.
What album is it on?
What?
What album is it on?
It was just a single.
Oh, okay.
And it was like an EP about instructional songs for kids and stuff.
Okay. I didn't know that.
Yes. And was that the poetry guy reading that story that sounded like J.D. Salinger.
It was J.D. Salinger.
It was J.D. Salinger.
It was Catcher in the Rye, first chapter.
Oh, yeah? Oh, well, yeah. Did he mention that?
Yes. We mentioned it before and after.
Oh, okay, because I went to get a soda, and I thought he was taking credit for that, too.
Oh, of course not. Poetry Guide never does that.
Oh, but how come he never reads his own poetry?
He has on occasion.
Like that guy that read that poem about feet and stuff.
Yeah.
Spanish.
Well, one of the things that the Poetry Guide does is he tries to expose people to stuff that's already out there so they can just pick it up in a book and see it for themselves. I remember one of the first things he ever did was something from Allen Ginsberg, which was terrific. And one thing,
well,
if you notice, he is excellent. He is an excellent reader. He's an excellent reader. He's very good at just reading stuff out of books and making it sound like he's not reading it.
He's a great professor. But, you know, the kids used to sit in the back of the classroom and make fun of him.
Oh, yeah, but that's to be expected.
They're schmucks. Oh, I'm sorry. Can I say that on the air?
Yeah, you can get away with it, but...
I'm sorry.
One thing about a guy like Ginsberg, though, I doubt he took them very seriously.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, I talked to him many times.
Yeah, and not only that, he probably didn't even care, because unless you start to get a swelled head over some of these things... You generally don't. If the person doesn't like it, screw them.
Yeah, that's true. Well, I just wanted to make sure that you guys didn't get sued or nothing.
Oh, no. We gave J.D. Salinger plenty of credit, besides which he's up somewhere in, New Hampshire or something. Probably isn't anywhere near a radio and can't hear us anyway.
He doesn't want to be bothered.
Does not. Wants to be alone, in the words of the immortal Garbo.
Yeah, she was a great actress, too.
Yep. Did the same thing, too. She got to a point where she said, I want to be alone, and she was alone for about 50 years.
Oh, and yeah, I'd like to point out, too, that Carrie Carpenter died of bulimia. So
anorexia nervosa, actually. They're related.
So we should tell, all those young girls out there.
Eat.
Don't be like that. Skinny models and stuff.
Yeah, besides which, they're not so skinny as they are tall. That's something people don't realize.
Yeah.
Hey, Kate Moss weighs 150 pounds, people.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, very true.
Yeah. But Kate Moss just happens to be very tall.
Like models and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Exactly.
And if you went back 100 years, being fat was, cool back then.
Oh, it was a symbol of prosperity.
Because you had money and you can buy food and stuff.
Exactly. Back in the days when starvation was kind of, a routine thing. And also disease. Fat people were more resistant to disease or perceived as such.
That's right. So, our young girls shouldn't succumb to these fads.
Exactly.
They're beautiful as they are.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's what's inside that counts.
Yeah, but don't get too heavy to the point that your heart clogs up either, so...
Oh, okay.
There is another extreme.
All right, okay, well, that was the They Might Be Giants song, and that guy should have pointed it out because it's a great song and it's he made it sound as if it was his.
Well, Mr. Wizard and the copyright laws never did get along very well. Okay, I do have to go though. Thank you for calling.
Okay, all right. Thanks for your time, man.
Have fun.
All right. Good night.
See ya. Brain Damage.
Hello, this is College Guy. I've returned.
Okay. Did you pick a school yet?
I picked a school. What? I would like to get on the air and share my experiences with all the listeners.
You are on the air.
I'm on the air?
Yeah, you got on.
Oh, because I heard before you didn't have the 7-second delay on and you were screening calls.
Yeah, well, this one I let slip through.
All right, well, first of all, I'd like to give my real name because I'm an adult now and I really don't care if people can't know my name.
First name only.
My name is Joe Hackett.
First name only.
Joe, my name is Joe.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, and I picked a college. It's in Massachusetts. I don't know if you... Well, you probably know Boston College.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I picked it there, but the only problem is I didn't get a lot of money to go there.
Mm-hmm.
So I got a partial scholarship, but it's a lot of money to go to Boston College.
Right.
Not like a state school like Stony Brook, for example.
Right.
So it's like $25,000 a year.
Right.
So I got a job flying an airplane out of Tom Nevers Field.
You a private pilot? Really?
Private pilot. I work for Sandpiper Air. I fly a Cessna Nevada 131.
Not bad. That should definitely offset the costs.
It's only a one plane operation, so it's not that much. So I don't get no pay. No money.
You don't. At least it doesn't cost you anything to go flying. That's very important.
Oh, and by the way, I heard the altercation you had with that plagiarism guy. And Mr. Wizard guy, who I know personally, and I'm a friend of his,
mm-hmm.
this is not any bias or anything, but he never said it was his own song, so he really didn't plagiarize.
Okay.
And, well, how has things been on Long Island?
Oh, on Long Island, pretty much the same.
I heard you're running some sort of contest.
Yes, the Mr. Wizard-sponsored Anyone Can Host contest.
Mr. Wizard, he's my friend Brian. He's pretty cool.
Yes. What you do...
What do we have to do?
Okay, what you do is send me a letter, whatever length you deem appropriate, telling me why you would make a good host of Brain Damage. The winner of this contest, if in fact there is a winner, will host Brain Damage on a given night somewhere in the future. I haven't determined what yet. According to the original plan, I'm supposed to give people one more week to send in the letters before I announce a winner.
Will you be in the studio at the time? I mean, I would love to answer, but I can't because I have to go back to Boston College.
I have to be in the studio.
Hyannis, in the near future.
I have to be in the studio.
You have to be actually in the studio? And how many people are actually in the running for this contest?
So far, one living person and one dead person.
Who is this one living person?
One living person I can't identify. I'm not going to identify any of the people who enter the contest until I choose a winner. And the one dead person is Inspector Clouseau.
Is Mr. Wizard Guy in the running?
Mr. Wizard Guy will be in the running when he sends me a letter.
But isn't that kind of like biased because it's like his contest?
Well, no. I think it's very fair because everybody who wants to enter this contest has to send me a letter.
So how have you been lately? Have you been good?
Oh, I've been good. I've been good enough to get what I deserve for Christmas.
Whatever happened to Eric?
Good question.
I don't know. What happened to him?
Eric is still very much alive and well and on the air on WBAI. Hasn't been on Brain Damage lately, but he has been publishing his magazine, being very much involved in the hacker world. And as that era starts to unfold, you will be even more involved. And hopefully I'll get to hear some of... his thoughts on Brain Damage one of these days. I'd like to see him come back soon. But who knows? We don't plan anything ahead.
You know, we can almost get you a Nantucket USB because I think you have a booster pretty much. And do you have any boosters in Connecticut?
No, we don't.
Because I could have sworn I heard some music and I thought I heard USB call letters.
Very possible. Well, Nantucket is a bit of a reach, but we can get a lot of Southern Connecticut.
I'm pretty sure, because I was flying out of Nantucket, and I'm pretty sure we got you.
Really? Well, also, you're flying. You're flying. So how high up were you when you got it?
We were a good 35.
3,500 feet? 3,500?
No, 35,000. No, not 3,500.
You can get 35,000 in a Cessna?
Yes, 35 in a Cessna, easily. Cessna Nevada, one pop one, man.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought you were thinking about it. I was thinking about the smaller single engine.
Oh, we got two engines up there. It's pretty good. Oh, that's why I brought up Eric Crowley, because in the same terminal where I work, an Aeromass company, and I thought I saw Eric's name on the...
Aeromass? You mean from Wings Aeromass?
Wings? There's no Aeromass on Wings.
You better believe there is.
Oh, come on.
There is. You look in the background, the guy, you know, the fat guy behind the desk, okay, that they make fun of all the time?
No, we don't make fun of him. If there's an Aeromass on that show, then my name is not Joe Hackett.
How's your brother doing?
My brother? My brother Brian?
Yeah, this is Tim Daly. I'm about to sue this Joe Hackett guy.
And the girl at the snack bar, the girl in the snack counter, yeah.
Oh, yeah,
cute.
We're going out. She's pretty nice. She says hello to you.
Yeah.
Yeah,
she
so
can
my,
do
my
better.
I'm
Tim Daly. I'm about to sue him because he's using me name.
Oh, the next thing you know, we'll have Home Improvement on. Gotta go, guys. Thanks for calling. Brain Damage.
Oh, God, am I on?
You believe it or not, yeah.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I'm so happy. Hello, is this Matt?
Yes, it is.
Jesus Christ, I've been calling. I've been waiting for like an hour.
How can you be on? We've only been on for 47 minutes.
You serious?
That's it.
Oh, listen, I just have to ask you one little question.
Yes.
Are you, like, a demon crotch?
A demon crotch?
Yes.
No, you are. Brain Damage. Brain Damage.
Hello?
Yes.
Hi.
Hi.
What's up?
Hi, who am I speaking to? I'm trying to distinguish voices around here.
My name's Azure.
Hi.
Hi. Is this Brain Damage?
This is.
Hi, what do you want to know?
What do I want to know?
Yeah. What do I want to talk about?
Yeah, what you want to talk about. You called me, remember?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I want to talk about my experience in a mental hospital.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
Is it one nearby?
What?
Is it one on the island?
It was one in Queens.
Okay. Now, were you committed, or did you turn yourself in, or what?
It was kind of like I turned myself in, but I had no choice.
How did this happen?
Well, I was really depressed, and I didn't want to go to school anymore.
Okay.
I was, like, seeing a psychotherapist.
Mm-hmm.
And, she referred me to, a shrink, right?
Yeah.
So, he was just like, well, what do you think you should do? And I was like, I want to drop out of school. So he was like, well, why don't you go into a mental hospital for a while? And I was like, okay, because I just didn't want to go to school anymore, you know?
Yeah.
So I went in, and it was, like, not the place for me, and I had a really bad experience there and everything, because everyone was really, like, wanting to kill themselves, you know?
Right.
And I didn't, but I was just really depressed, and I didn't want to be me anymore. Mm-hmm. But I'm not, like, violent, so I don't want to kill myself, you know? So I was in there for a week, and I wrote a letter saying I didn't want to be there anymore. And, I don't know, I kind of just, like, stayed to myself and everything. And I got out of there, and then I finished high school, and I graduated, and I was all proud of myself, you know?
Yeah.
And I found a job, and I just kind of want to talk about how people kind of just don't appreciate people. They just, like, they care about, like, money and stuff more than they care about being nice to people.
Most certainly.
Mm-hmm. And they care about, like, cold, hard pieces of metal, like coins and stuff, more than they care about, like, saying thank you and please, you know?
Common courtesies. I find that to vary a lot.
Yeah.
I often find that I get a lot better treatment than many of my peers. I don't think it's because I look older. I think it's because I go in with a smile or something like that.
Yeah.
It's very hard because I've been on the other end of a counter.
Uh-huh.
And you are often a mirror to the people who come in. If they come in ready to bite your head off, you're on the defensive, and you are not anywhere near as warm to them as you would be otherwise.
Uh-huh.
You try.
I try to be nice to people, and they just kind of, like, treat me like I'm trying to, like, bag their groceries and stuff, and they're just kind of like, well, you know, don't make it too heavy, you know?
Right.
And just, like, ridiculous. And I think I'm a nice person to get along with, and I don't have, like, anything against anyone that I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they just kind of, like, I don't know. They just treat me like I'm a piece of garbage.
Yeah. Well, I'll give you another example.
Okay.
If you're working in a supermarket, which it sounds like you are,
yeah.
People think that's a terrible job. People hate that job.
Yeah.
And the last thing they want to do is picture themselves in it. And also, most of the people who are in those jobs don't like them much. So generally, the experience in a supermarket is you don't want to be there to shop. The person doesn't want to be there to work. And it shows in many cases. Supermarkets have always been a rather depressing place for me because every now and then you'll run into somebody, especially if you go to the same place all the time, then you go to the same person at the same counter, then you strike up a conversation, and then everything's really nice. But if it's, you know, a disembodied voice or a face without a name, that kind of thing, people are generally rather cold to each other. They just want to get out of there as fast as they can, and it's a very dehumanizing experience. It's less of a problem in, let's say, a small store or a small shop or preferably a small shop in a village on the island, something like that, or to a lesser extent, a small store in the mall. It's not like that. Not anywhere near as bad. Department stores, you're starting to go down a little bit, and supermarkets are at the very bottom in terms of how people treat each other. It goes both ways.
Yeah, because, like, I'm a kind of, like, a nervous person. Like, I have a low self-image, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I try to, like, be nice to people, and, like, I try to have them be nice to me, you know?
Exactly.
I want to get along with people, even if I don't like them that much.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it just, like, hurts me. I take it personally when people aren't nice to me back.
Right.
Like, I try to, like, you know, ring them up right and bag their groceries right and make them happy and get them out of there quick, and they're just like, well, this is supposed to be 99 cents. And I know that sounds kind of ridiculous.
Yeah.
It's just like...
What time of the day do you work?
I work from... just like during day hours, you know?
Strange, because I always figured that it was easier during the day because... it's generally the same people coming in over and over again during the day.
Uh-huh.
At night, it's people getting off from work who are really cranky to begin with.
The thing is, in the day, it's, like, really busy, and at night, it's not as busy.
Right.
You know, it's just kind of boring.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I just think people should kind of try to relax and just go with the flow, you know?
Yeah.
And, like...
you will find... I'll give you another example. Here's a perfect example. I'm down in Georgia. This was several months ago. And, you know, at a self-serve gas station up here, you usually pay first before you pump the gas.
Uh-huh.
Not so down there. I go in with a $20 bill, and I say, I'm going to fill it with unleaded and over on pump number. And the guy says, yo, no, just pump it. And there was a girl who was also buying gas at the counter. She said, you're in a different state. Obvious, because my accent, I'm not from around there. But... in down there, people are much nicer to each other because it seems that they can afford to be. And also,
yeah.
They put a higher premium on manners down south. Also in places like England.
Yeah.
The British are extremely well-mannered. They may not like you, but they will not tell you. even the cops are very well-mannered. They always address you as sir or ma'am Every instruction that's put up always starts with please.
And I don't think people should be fake and use fake manners.
Well, this isn't fake. This is normal, and you find yourself doing it too. I'll give you an example. In London, in what they call a tube station, a subway station, a skinhead bumps into me and apologizes. I'm shocked.
Like I said, like, you shouldn't be fake, but you should just be real, and that's... you
know,
they're, that.
It's the norm. They are very well-mannered to each other, and you find that things do run more efficiently that way when people aren't at each other's throats. New York, it's different. New York, you're constantly looking over your shoulder because you figure everybody's trying to take you for something.
Uh-huh.
And in a supermarket especially, because how many times have you gone... shopping and something's not marked correctly, or it scans, it does the wrong price comes up, or the coupon's screwed up,
and you're just a cashier, you know?
Yeah, you're just a cashier. You don't have any control over it, but you're wearing the uniform, therefore you're it.
Exactly, and they just totally blame you for everything, and it's not fair, you know. I met this guy, like, at the gas station the other day.
Yeah.
Like, he's pumping gas and everything, and my friends were like, oh, ask him his phone number, you know? And I did, and he was, like, really nice about it, and that was, like, a total change from, like, working, you know?
Right.
And he was just like, oh, when do you want to hang out and stuff? And I was like, oh, I don't know, I'll give you a call. And he was 21, and I'm, like, 18, you know?
That's okay.
And he was just like, oh, but, you know, I don't know.
3-year age difference is nothing.
What?
3-year age difference is nothing.
Really?
Meaningless. The only problem with a 21-year-old and an 18-year-old is the 21-year-old can get into bars and the 18-year-old can't.
Yeah.
That's the only problem.
Mhm. I don't know.
If it were 21 and 24, it wouldn't be any problem at all.
Mhm. I don't know, because I just broke up with my boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And I'm shy, like, going up to people and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
But I did it anyway. And I don't know, it's just weird for me.
Sometimes the risk pays off.
Yeah, I don't know.
Hey, no one has a bigger problem with that than I do.
Really?
One of the nice things about being here on Brain Damage is that you really don't have to worry about being shy or not.
Uh-huh.
Because everybody comes to you.
Uh-huh.
And I don't have to reach out and go after callers. They just seem to flock here. I don't know why. I don't even want to find out, because otherwise I'll probably screw the formula up big time. But doing this...
people like being heard, you know?
Going into a club or something like that on my own, I hardly talk to anybody. It's very hard.
Really?
It's very hard because you don't know what you're running into.
Yeah.
You talk to a girl, well,
right.
Trying to talk to a girl is absolutely, in some cases around here, a royal pain, because you don't know who they're with or why they're there or what, and 90% of the time, first glance will determine whether or not they want anything to do with you.
Mm-hmm.
And besides which, you can't hear half of what anybody's saying anyway.
Uh-huh.
So you can kind of keep to yourself or keep to your group. And that's been a problem. There are some bars in the city which don't have the music playing so loud where you can actually hide out, talk over a couple of beers, and actually carry on some kind of sociable conversation. Cannot do that around here.
Uh-huh. Like, when people look at me, I feel like they think I'm just, like, it'll get away from me just because the fact that I'm shy and I'm probably just, like, not giving them the right message, you know?
Oh, yes. That's one problem that the shy person faces all the time.
I think I'm...
When
they're... people think I'm snotty.
Exactly.
Not that. It's really not that.
The shy person has that problem all the time. It's a snowball effect.
Yeah.
The shy person's afraid to talk to anybody. So everybody else thinks
they
the
think
shy person wants
like,
nothing to do with them.
Too good for them, you know?
Right.
But that's not it at all.
But the shy person is so wrapped up in
hang-ups, you know,
one's own self, that they are not thinking about that at all. They are thinking about being rejected by the people who think that he's rejecting them.
That's so right.
It's really weird being shy. It's very tough being shy.
It is. Like, I didn't used to be shy. It just happened, like, a while ago.
Especially
in high school.
If you had bouts with depression and something and stuff like that, you tend to...
like, I have a warped self-image, so...
Cover yourself up.
Mm-hmm.
And, to quote the immortal Bruce Springsteen, you end up like a dog that's been beat too much till you spend half your life just covering up.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly what happens, especially if you've had some falling outs or bad relationships. Oh, this is WUSB Stony Brook, by the way. It's 1 o'clock.
I'm sorry. I'll let you go.
No. I just had to do that at the top of the hour. Anyway. If you've had your share of bad relationships or falling outs with friends or stuff like that that happens very close together, like you said you had a bout with depression and you broke up with your boyfriend and a few other things, and it all comes together, and that will make a shy person out of the most outgoing person you can find.
Yeah. Like,
you tend to retreat.
Yeah. The first and only guy I was in love with moved to Maryland. And,
through no
that,
fault of yours,
I'm
sure.
Like, I really missed them a lot and everything. And my whole, the last year of my life was just total, like, pain, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, I finally got another boyfriend. That's the one I just broke up with.
Right.
And, right now I'm, like, okay, you know? But, that was after I was, like, put on medication and stuff like that, you know? And right now I'm just kind of, like, I don't really know how I feel, you know?
Right.
Hard. It's good to have someone to talk to, though. Like, you seem really understanding, you know?
It's supposedly one of the things I do best around here. All I try to do is be objective. I'm not an expert. I haven't been trained in this at all. I'm just here.
Mm-hmm. That's cool, though.
Okay. Thanks for calling.
You're welcome. All right. Can you park me on the side?
Sure. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what I intend to do. Just a second here. I'm going to put you on hold for a second and... within a few seconds, you will be talking to two other people.
All right, thanks a lot.
Hang on. Hi.
Yeah.
Someone needs to talk to a lot of people, and you're getting her. You're in. Hello?
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 Hi.
Hey.
What's up?
No, who's this?
Azure.
Okay, have fun, folks. I'm going to take a break for a minute, and when I return, we'll have more calls, I guess.
Like a perfume woman, like a perfume woman, like a perfume woman. like a perfume. Like a perfume. Like a perfume.
On 90.1 USB, on the next Modern Ears, you'll be able to hear live improvisation. And that will take place at 7 p.m. on October 29th, 1994. Live improvisation on Modern Ears. Be ready for it.
Like a perfume. Like a perfume. Like a perfume.
On 90.1, on October 29th, 1994, at 7 p.m., it's time for the next edition of Modern Ears. On Modern Ears, you'll be able to hear some live improvisation coming direct from the USB studios in beautiful Lapophonic stereo. That's October 29th. At 7 p.m. on Modern Ears, exclusively here on 90.1 WUSB, Stony Brook.
Okay, folks, I'm back. Sorry about the double message there. But we do want to reinforce to people that Modern Ears is on. But I do have somebody waiting on the line here, and I have heard you before.
No, you haven't.
Sure, yeah, sure I have.
No, I haven't.
Yes. Hi there.
Hey, what's up?
What's going on?
Well, I was talking about shyness. And
yes, please go on.
Song, like, it inspired me. It's like by Morrissey. And it goes, shyness is nice, but shyness can stop you from doing all the things in life you want to do. And, like, it just, like, inspired me. Like, and then once I broke out of it, it felt so good. Like, I could talk to people, and I didn't care how people thought about me. I could dress how I want, stuff like that.
One of my favorites is when you try to break out of shyness, there are going to be people who are going to say, where does she get off talking to everyone she runs into? Who does she think she is? And they try to knock you down.
Yeah,
I've
that
had that. That's how I've had that happen to me a couple of times,
yeah.
And I find out later that the very same person turns out to be a useless waste of oxygen anyway.
Probably insecure about themselves.
Even more insecure about themselves than you were.
Yeah.
And they try to knock you down that way, and in many cases they do succeed, which is a really pathetic thing about it. I know a person who did just that, and he turned out to be a bigger screw-up than I ever was.
Yeah, well, I don't know, it just feels really good. It's just, I don't know, I'm friends with that girl that you were just talking to, too.
Really?
Yeah, she's really pretty and everything,
mm-hmm.
But she doesn't talk to anybody, but I know her, and she's a really nice person.
Okay.
I just want to say hi to her.
Okay.
Hi, it's Liz.
Okay.
Miss Lamb.
Thanks for calling.
All right, can you put me on hold?
Yeah, hang on. Oh, I hate when this happens. Hello?
Oh, hello. I called earlier on about the They Might Be Giants song.
Yeah.
Can I, like, just be put on the side, because...
No room. I have two people on the line. I can. One of you has to go. Hello?
Hi.
Hi. Just got to put you on hold for a second.
Okay.
What happened to my... Okay. Got to park you over. Line disappeared here. Okay. Hi, stick around for a few minutes while I find more people to put on.
Okay.
Brain damage.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, I wanted to talk to you, but first of all, I want to talk to you about this.
Listen, that guy, isn't that Herb? That guy who just called?
No, it is. I don't know. Maybe it
Herb,
is.
Don't let him on the line. He has a couple of loose screws, you know what I'm saying?
Well, a lot of people on this show have loose screws, so what else is new?
In the head. Hold on a second. My phone's talking to you, all right?
Sure.
All right. His name is Robert.
Robert.
Awesome. Hello?
Hello, Robert.
Hello. I've heard you talk about English people that have no good manners.
They had excellent manners.
No. I've heard that you said they have bad manners.
No, excellent.
Are you calling me a liar?
Yes.
No!
Brain damage.
How you doing?
Hi.
This is Mustafa, Tyrone's friend.
Yes.
Remember Tyrone, he give you dollar, he take over show?
Yeah, well, he gives me letter, he may take over show.
Yeah, did he give you his letter yet?
No, nothing. No letter.
No, I wrote you letter.
I ain't get it yet.
I said, I give you $1.50, then I take over your show.
$1.50? $1.50.
Yeah, I take over your show, $1.50?
Yeah, $1.50 in what terms? $1.50 in betting terms, that's $150.
Yeah.
$150?
Yeah.
You're going to give me $150 if you can win the, hey, this might be worth it.
Yeah, $150.
Oh, $250. You're upping the bid.
Sorry, man, my throat hurt a lot.
Yeah, $250?
$250 for you. I take over your show.
I really have to think about that.
Brain damage.
Okay, you know what? When I do finally announce a winner, I'll decide whether or not it's worth it to me to take $250 for the show. But thanks for the offer. Brain damage.
Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
What is this, screening?
Well, no, you're on the air live now.
Live now, but there's a delay.
Yeah.
All right, copy. Yeah, what's up? I'd like to say what's up to a couple of people.
Sure, please do.
Yeah, sure. How about Resonator and Bayshore?
Mm-hmm.
And Handyman and Comac?
Okay.
And what's the topic tonight? Because I wasn't really listening.
Well, the topic can be pretty much anything you want. What do you want to talk about tonight?
Nothing really, you know. A couple of things here and there. It doesn't really matter.
Okay. Anything going on in your neck of the woods that we should know about?
A couple of things.
Oh, brain damage?
Yes.
Hi. Just want to talk about science fiction shows tonight.
Yeah.
Yeah, what kind of shows do you watch, by the way, just out of curiosity?
Well, I was raised on Star Trek, first of all. I do have to admit that. Star Wars trilogy, naturally. Deep Space Nine, when I get a chance to watch it. I work in the evening, so it's hard.
Oh, you like DS9?
Yeah, I like DS9. Liked Next Generation better, liked classic Star Trek better in either one. Actually, that's a tough debate between DS9 and Next Generation, because DS9's characters are much livelier
on which one?
Than Next Generation's were.
Next Generation?
Next Generation's characters were half dead in the first season, and they got better as time went on. DS9 had a better start.
Character portrayal for a few seasons.
What was that?
They were just starting the new series, so you can't expect for them to have, like, all complete depth of character.
Oh, true, but even as the show went on, the characters, I always thought, were a bit on the dull side.
Oh, okay.
I thought the DS9 characters are much more lively, and the classic characters are far livelier than either of the two TV series.
I agree, but as for the definition of lively on DS9, I suppose it depends on how you define it. I mean, look at Sisko. He seems to me to be dead as a doornail, except when he gets angry.
Yes.
But you know, they're supposed to be doing some more with the characters for this season.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was new collar in the belt.
Yeah.
You checked that out on his uniform?
No, I haven't checked that out yet.
Oh, it's in the new season. They also changed the communicators and stuff, too.
Oh.
Pretty neat.
Advances in technology. What can you do?
Yep, I suppose. Have you ever seen, like, the new Sequest and stuff like that?
I haven't seen the new season yet.
Really?
I haven't been around. When Sequest is on, I am usually preparing for a show here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's pretty good, though. Except they changed the doctor, and this lady isn't Navy. She always wears, like, dresses everywhere she goes.
Well, they're trying to politically correct Sequest now. That was one thing I've noticed also, the demilitarization of science fiction over time. The classic Star Trek characters were Navy. No question about it. Even Spock. They were trained with that type of framework in mind.
Oh, that's right.
Got Lister here.
I'm out of jail.
Hey. Yeah, Lister busted out. Well, anyway.
Okay.
They were definitely trained. They're more like NASA types.
Right.
Because NASA, even though it was originally made of military personnel, were not quite military by the time they became astronauts.
Right.
More like that. They were trained spacemen. Now, when you go into Next Generation, right, you have a ship psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
Could you imagine a ship psychologist on a Navy ship today?
Actually, not really.
Okay. A ship psychologist? Come on. And you also notice that the only true, I would say, Navy types are, I would say, Picard and Riker. And the other ones are just civilian professionals who are specialists in their particular endeavors. Worf is Army.
Worf is Army, okay.
Yeah, Worf's, well, no, I shouldn't even say that. Worf's a Marine.
Yeah. More like a stormtrooper to me. I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what are you waiting for the new Next Generation movie, Star Trek Generations?
Oh, sure.
November 19th. It's
November?
Good. Do you know what happens in it yet?
No, I don't. All I know is that Kirk and Picard meet, and they have to combine on a mission. I don't know what happens in the mission.
I want to hear parts of it. I don't know.
Yeah, that's about all I know so far.
Did you want to hear what happens in some of it?
Sure, why not? Tell everybody. Sure, why not? Tell everybody.
Well, it begins in the scene in Earth, and Kirk is, like, late towards his retirement.
Mm-hmm.
And in the beginning, he's just, like, having fun, but I think they edited out that one scene. He's, like, flying through the air in some jetpack and lands in a wheat field. Chekhov and Scotty are there saying that that night they have to go up to the Enterprise B for its commissioning. So they go up to the Enterprise B that night, and reporters are there and stuff. And, like, Ensign Demora Sulu, who's Sulu's daughter,
yeah,
at the helm, which I thought was an interesting twist. Then they set out for their mission, and, of course, they happen to meet some energy creature, and Kirk valiantly goes down to some lower deck to make a new weapon really quickly.
Yeah.
And he saves two ships that were nearby, but all of a sudden the deck gets blown out and Kirk just disappears.
We think
he's dead.
Uh-huh.
But what actually turns out, I haven't read the whole thing. I read the beginning and the end because I want to save some surprise too. But at the end, it turns out that he actually gets thrown into the future, which is why they meet. From what I can gather so far, the uniforms will stay the same, but they'll just gradually change towards the DS9. First, you'll have the new communicator, and then somewhere in the middle of the movie, they change to the full DS9 uniforms,
mm-hmm,
which I don't like, personally.
Yeah, well, I always thought the DS9 uniforms were designed specifically for DS9, and they weren't necessarily standard issue throughout Starfleet.
Now they are. I think it's really ugly, actually.
I don't like them very much either. I kind of prefer the Next Generation uniforms, and I really like the movie Star Trek uniforms, which look military, which do look military. The Next Generation uniforms look like jumpsuits,
right,
which in fact they are.
They were for the first two seasons.
Yeah.
Anyway, we won't bother getting into the technicalities of that. They end up in the future, to put it quite bluntly. Data gets his motion chip put in. Worf gets promoted to lieutenant commander with a rather amusing ceremony on the holodeck.
Uh-huh.
It has to do with a pirate ship. And Data, mistaken attempt at humor, throws Dr. Crusher overboard. And he thinks it's funny, but no one else does. He, like, has an emotional breakdown while he and Geordi are trying to save him. Geordi gets kidnapped by that Romulan bad guy, Dr. Saran, who's working with Lursan Bator. Remember them?
Yeah.
Okay. Some sort of trilithium weapon. And in the very end... Oh, no, I better not say that.
Well, I got a question for you. Any sex scenes with Deanna Troi?
I've only read pretty much the introduction and pretty much, like, the first act of the script and the last scene. And I really don't want... really don't want to spoil the ending. This is an incredible ending.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
As you hear Kirk dies. One last thing, though. Have you ever watched The X-Files?
No, I haven't.
You know, it's sad because it's such a good show, but
yeah.
The ratings are so bad.
What's it on?
Channel 5, 9 p.m. Fridays. It's a great show.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons why I've never been around on Friday nights.
Yeah,
9 p.m. Friday.
People watch it.
9 p.m. Friday is not necessarily the greatest time to schedule any kind of TV show.
That's true. But it's a
9 p.m. Wednesday would be better.
Agents. Did you know what it's about?
No.
It's about these two FBI agents, Fox Mulder, played by David Duchovny, and Dana Scully, played by Julian Anderson, and they investigate cases of the paranormal that are derived from real government reports.
Uh-huh.
And the rest of the reasons behind it are all speculation on the part of the writers, and it's an excellent show. Alien abductions, ghosts, that sort of thing.
Are you familiar with Destinies here on USB?
Actually, no. I isn't that a show?
Yes. It's Friday night at 11:30.
Uh-huh.
It is the longest-running science fiction radio show on Long Island, and the guy who does the show is a good friend of mine, and he is very much into everything you've mentioned, and also he's an expert on comic books, too.
Oh, cool. Comics are neat.
Yes, he is really good. The interviews he brings in are flawless. He makes some of these guys who can't talk to save their lives sound like they have something to say. In many cases, they do, if you can get through all the uhs. But he is probably one of the best hosts we have of any show on WUSB. Definitely worth a listen. It's only a half hour a week, but the work he puts into it, it's a terrific show. Destiny's The Voice of Science Fiction, as he calls it, and you can hear that Friday night at 11:30.
Okay, I'll
and
look out for it.
Also, I play promos for the show every now and then. I'll give you an example of the kind of people he gets to do promos for the show. Mark Leonard.
Oh, wow.
David Prowse.
Mark Leonard teach acting on Long Island or something like that?
I think so, yeah. But he got this several years ago. He got Adam West. He has Stan Lee. He's got, who else? Colin Baker. He has, this is just what's in front of me now. He has many others, but these are the ones that I have at my disposal currently.
Oh, wow.
So he gets terrific interviews. He's got Michael Dornan here.
Or,
yes.
Easy name.
Your hailing frequencies are tuned to. Let's see. I'm just trying to see if. I'm just looking at this wall here.
Quick question. Do you know what time Icon's going to be this year?
Oh, that's a very good question. That's something you're going to have to ask the Destinies guys.
Okay.
You know what? Also, the Destinies show is produced on Wednesday evenings, something like from 6 to 8 p.m. in the studio.
Uh-huh.
If you ask for Dr. Howard Margolin, you will get him on Wednesday night, and he can tell you what you need to know about Icon or anything else science fiction related.
Oh, that's neat.
Yeah, you can call him while he's producing the show on Wednesday nights.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, but thanks for calling.
All right, can I just make a shout-out to some of my friends?
Sure.
Okay, I want to say hi to Kim, my little fuzzy Hannah, Davian, Ariana, Rich, and 760.
Great. Okay, thanks for calling. See ya.
Okay.
Okay, what do we do now? Take a break. That's what we do now.
Top slot will leave you.
about the dead air, folks. 122 here on WUSB, the place where we understand sick behavior. The name of the show is Brain Damage. The name of me is Matt. The number is 632-6901. But you know, want to know something that's really weird about this show? I haven't mentioned the phone number once. And the phone has rung off the hook since midnight. Is that weird or what? 632-6901. In case you've never called before, gotta warn you though, got five people on the lines here, you may have trouble getting through. Which means I have to go through these people real quick. I did not put you on a teleconference because there isn't one.
Oh God.
Yeah. See ya. Brain Damage.
Howdy. I was the guy who asking about Eric. What happened to him?
Oh, good question. Still very, like I said before, in the show, still very much alive and very much kicking and very much on WBAI and hasn't been on WUSB much lately, but I'm sure he will be in the future.
WBLI?
BAI.
Where's that?
In the city. 99.5 FM. Wednesday nights.
Great guy.
Wednesday nights.
It seemed that after he left, the whole show, you know, went in the handbasket.
I know.
What are you talking about? You got people talking about Star Trek for 20 minutes who do, seems like they watch TV all day. And then you got another girl in the supermarket who seems like she's watching TV all day.
And what do you do all day?
Well, I don't watch TV all day.
Okay, what do you do?
The thing I'd like to know is there still a picture in the station with little Toby Walker?
Oh, yeah. Little Toby Walker and the Rocket. As a matter of fact, there are two pictures of Little Toby Walker.
Oh, there is?
Yes. Actually, there's one with Toby alone, and there's one with Toby and the Rocket together.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Those are beautiful pictures. Toby's one of my favorite musicians. I saw him, where did I see him? Last time I saw him had to be back in 87.
Oh, yeah, but he's been on the Blues Show on Tuesday nights on USB several times since then.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, he's a regular.
Oh, yeah, I love Toby Walker's my favorite. I'm not even going to start because I'll just rag on forever and then I'll be just as bad as the guy talking about Star Trek.
Right, okay, but Blues Show, Tuesday nights at 8 on WUSB.
All right, and I also heard you used to go to Chaminade?
Yeah, I graduated from there a while ago.
How many years ago?
10. Actually, 11.
Two of my kids go to Chaminade now.
Really?
Really.
Okay, poor guys.
Why do you say that? It's a lot different. I remember I used to go to Mineola High School across the street.
Yeah, you used to pick fights with us all the time.
We used to, you know, beat up the Chaminade kids.
Well, you may have beaten up the ones that you ran into, but we got our share, too. We beat up our share of Mineola guys.
Well, when I was there, well, you know, you see the kids and the ties and stuff like that. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah, we stood out.
All our fathers were like coal miners, stuff like that, so we had the soot on our hands and our faces. You know, poor kids back then. This is going way back in the day.
Hey, I got news for you. Chaminade guys aren't all that rich.
Yeah, well, we saw them in the three-piece suits and whatnot and the ties, so we just figured, you know, we were getting back at society.
Can we
jump them and whatnot. But it's
hey, can I
cool
give...
now because, you know, now that everything's going well for me, I'm going to send my kids there because I don't want them to be a bunch of hoodlums like myself.
Yeah, I got news for you. Why are you hear one of the secrets of Chaminade? You think because they wear jackets and ties, they look really good and everything like that. One little secret. The typical Chaminade student takes one blazer, possibly a second, but usually just one blazer, leaves it in his locker, and puts it on in the morning at 3 o'clock when he gets out of the building, puts it back in his locker, leaves it in there the whole year, the same damn jacket every day. Everything else he changes day to day, the jacket is the same every single day. And one reason why is because he may have 20 good ones in his closet at home, but damned if he's going to abuse them in school.
Right, I hear you. Well, we'd see them all dialed up and stuff, and we'd be like, you know, those little Rich Oyster Bay kids.
Rich Oyster Bay kids. Yeah, there are some, but a lot of them are fairly run-of-the-mill guys whose parents really have to scrimp to get them through there.
really.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I know things have changed now, and I, you know, I regret the things I've done in the past, obviously.
Well, nah, not necessarily. Everybody needs a little bit of a challenge.
Yeah,
and,
I know.
And, yeah, Shamanad,
you know,
guys have to beat up on many old guys.
Noses that could, you know, could have not have happened. But anyway, with the show, just when you and Eric were doing it together, alternating, whatever, it seemed like there was more variety of callers. There was a guy from Connecticut. There was the garbage man. Do you remember the? I don't know if it was you or was Eric doing it. There was a garbage man, like he found neat things.
Oh, yeah.
There was one show in particular where he found a real neat thing and he put it on a shifter in the garbage.
Yeah.
You remember?
I remember that.
That one in particular.
Yeah, I also remember some of Eric's international phone calls. He calls up a guy in Japan who just, by pure stroke of luck, a random phone number in Japan, the guy just happens to speak English, and he carries on a half-hour conversation with the guy, just talking about what's going on over there, what his the view from his window looks like, and the guy is in Japan. It was a riot. There was a time on a different show where I called on the day the Gulf War began. I called the Intercontinental Hotel in Amman, Jordan. It was the only place in the Middle East I could get through. Couldn't get through to Israel. Forget about Iraq. And couldn't get through to Saudi, but I did get through to Jordan. And he was telling me what was going on right outside his door.
Two other things before I depart. I want to ask you, is this, before your show, was the Psychedelic Attesan, is that still on?
It will be back in January.
And the Big Guy was on afterwards.
Big Guy has been moved, so far as I know. Where is the Big Guy these days? Let me take a look here. The Big Guy is on Saturday mornings, 3 to 6:30, I think.
Who is the cause? Is Christina Biglinton the cause of all this mayhem?
What mayhem?
Well, it just seems like, I don't know, maybe I'm an old-fashioned kind of person, but it seemed like everything was in such a set order.
Well, not necessarily. The Big Guy actually wanted the other show.
Oh, okay. Well, that's a different story then.
Yeah.
But I just mean to say, I remember, like, I can't even remember how many, I guess it was only about 2 years ago.
Psychedelic Attesan.
3 years ago.
Let me explain a couple of things. Psychedelic Attesan is not on this semester because its host, Spiny Norman, was in Europe for the past 4 or 5 months and only came back a couple of weeks ago. So he, since we're already into the semester, Wide World of Noise will continue in this spot until January when Psychedelic Attesan comes back. And Brain Damage will probably stay where it is. And actually, the Furthest Sense and Gary's show have been alternating here since, I believe, February.
All right. Well, what I also wanted to say was, also, it seemed like last time I listened to this, I haven't listened to it in years, like the kids seemed to be more energetic, almost like to the point they were on crack or something. There were, you know, crazy callers, you know, calling in. There was George Bush, who I think it was, or something like that.
Oh, there was Mr. Quayle, who hasn't called since Bush lost the 92 election.
All right.
We had Mr. Bush, who makes an occasional appearance. We have
the kids nowadays just seem more sedate. I don't know if it's just because the 90s have been sinking in. And
no, it's just a different kind of drug they're using.
Well, anyway. Also, what I'd like to say is I used to listen to Turmoil
mm-hmm.
on my way to work.
Yeah.
It's just that's another show. I'm not saying that your show's gone down the tubes. That's not very nice to say.
Oh,
but
my show's been going down the tubes since I got here.
But Turmoil show, it's just gone, just ridiculous. Steve Kreitzer, I don't know what happened to him, but it's blah. Kyle Anderson show, Riptide.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if you've given it a listen. That show is just phenomenal. It's what Turmoil used to be when it, like, first, Turmoil started in 1980, I believe, I remember.
That's one of the reasons why Turmoil isn't what it used to be, if in fact that's the case. I haven't heard Turmoil lately, so I don't know this. I'm just going by what you're saying. After you've been doing something for 14 years, you kind of get bored.
But look at David Letterman. Look at Don Imus. They've been doing stuff for years upon years, and it's still crisp.
It's still crisp, for one thing. And the other reason why it's still crisp is because they get a lot of crisp dollars for what they do. That has a lot to do with... The other fact is that they have a support staff that stays fresh. The people who wrote for Letterman are not the same people who wrote for Letterman back in 1982 when he first went on. And he keeps things reasonably fresh, and he obviously likes what he's doing. But he will get to a point where there will be a period, maybe a couple of months, where the shows will start to drag. And then something will happen, like Madonna will come on and say, bleep you, or something like that, and he'll get his enthusiasm back again. It's happened here on Brain Damage several times. I've come in not wanting to be here, just going through the motions, and then something happens, and then my enthusiasm perks up again, and then I get bored. And then it comes back, and then I get bored. And sometimes that happens within a single show.
I definitely think you need the new wind, the new blood. Like, if Steve Kreitzer got, if Steve Kreitzer got Kyle Anderson to help him out, the show would be phenomenal.
Steve Kreitzer probably will not do that.
But I know, Mr. Cablevision or whatever, I forgot what he worked for, Cablevision or Viacom, something like that. In 1990, all of a sudden he got this big head like he was King Kamehameha.
Uh-huh.
And it just got ridiculous. It's a shame because that was a classic show.
Man, you are quoting several people, but I'm not going to diss Steve. Because I'm not the one who listens to the show.
It was
you
just
can.
Such a great show, and to see it go down like that,
uh-huh.
It's almost like it's better. Some things are just better left dead. I mean, you should just let the horse die, like the Carson show. You know, don't have Dorito Jay Leno do it. Just let it die. That's what I'm saying.
What are you going to replace it with?
You don't need to replace it. Some things are just better left, you know, in your head the way they were. You don't have to keep replacing it and replacing it. That, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because what would you rather remember it as, a great kicking show, or just like, oh, yeah, it used to be good, now it's kind of bland?
Well, I think it has more to do with its host. I think if Letterman were the host of The Tonight Show, it would be The Letterman Show, and it would be something completely different. The trouble is that Jay, I think, still tries to stick too much to the old Tonight Show format. Even though he's made some changes, he hasn't made anywhere near enough. So he's really still doing Carson's show. That's one of the big problems I have with Leno.
Jay Leno was great in Dorito commercials. You can't listen. I could listen to him for, what is it? What are commercials? 15 seconds long? Great. But an hour and a half?
Leno's done some good Leno does excellent stand-up. Don't get me wrong. But the show is still too much like Johnny's.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. But all I want to say is I think you need to get some new wind. These callers, I don't know if they're the same callers that were before, or all those kids went to college, or what happened. But this and Turmoil used to be like vibrant, very, you know, full of life, and it just, they seem like slagging. I don't know. This is the first time I've listened to it. I don't know if last week it was good or next week it'll be good, because, you know, the time I listen is so sporadic. But I'm just saying, I think, you know, something has to change. I mean, Star Trek's great, comics, go for it. But, I mean, it just seems after a while you're like, holy, you just like, you know, like you try to give your, you give the show a listen because it's, you know, independent, you know, it's not affiliated with some, you know, big McDonald's corporation, and it just, then you're like, you know, you might as well listen to the radio with the, you know, commercial BS.
You're right, and it's...
Because it's like...
It's almost
like this is, you know, one of the independent radio stations, like, you know, like PBS is an independent thing. And if they're playing all garbage all the time, you're like, oh, I might as well subject and be like the rest of the 40 billion other people, listen to the same garbage, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
You want some change in your life.
Right, exactly.
Well, listen, you have a good night, you hear?
You too.
All right.
Good night. Brain Damage.
Hey, I got Tony Thomas from Bass, you're here.
Got a song?
Yes, I do.
Okay, now remember the problem we had last night. Keep your telephone close to your voice and not so close to your guitar, because your guitar drowned you out last week.
What, drowned me out?
Yeah.
I know, the second time, too.
Yeah, so, yeah, try that this time, because that really hurt you last week. So, go ahead.
Okay, hold on.
Another song. From the ever reliable, ever popular.
I'm a was scared of going to jail, so he told me that he didn't really inhale. Sometimes that cake gives me the creeps. Sometimes that cake can help me sleep. There ain't no time to cram. Gotta get to Pan Am for my ticket to Amsterdam. I'm out of control. And that cake gives me the creeps. That cake can help me sleep. There is no time to cram. Gotta get to Pan Am for my ticket to Amsterdam.
Triumph.
How was it?
It was a triumph. The best one yet, Tony.
That's great.
Yes. Oh, I loved it. I got it on tape.
Oh, right. So, how's the letter thing going?
Where's yours?
Oh, I mailed one today.
Okay. That means I should expect it by Monday or Tuesday.
You're there every day of the week?
No, but, you know, these things are supposed to pile up in my mailbox, and they haven't.
Yeah, it'll be there.
Yeah, I hope so, because we're running out of time here.
Is singing tonight?
Huh?
My sidekick Fred and my other sidekick Stu?
Yeah, I heard them in the background. They were good.
Yeah, it's great.
I'm impressed.
It's really hard getting in now. It seems like a lot more people are calling.
Yeah, I noticed that. Also, I've been guilty of spending probably too much time with callers, but, you know. But do you want to be parked on the side? I don't have anybody else there. I have to warn you about that now.
Maybe I'll call, if I call it, like, at the end of the show.
See what happens.
Okay.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling.
No problem.
Okay, keep up the good work. See ya. Brain Damage.
What's up?
Yeah, what's going on tonight?
Not much. I was wondering about the contest.
Yeah, I have had two responses. One from a fully functioning human being, and one from a person who's been dead for 14 years.
What you call it? What's the address that I send the letter to?
Oh, you know, I am so pathetic that I haven't mentioned it once yet. That's terrible. I really should plan these shows better. It is Brain Damage, care of Mask, care of WUSB, SUNY at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. 11794.
I just write Brain Damage, care of Matt, care of...
Matt or Brain Damage, care of WUSB, SUNY at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794.
That thing about the supermarket thing?
Yeah.
Because I used to work at Wallbounds.
Right.
And I was there about maybe 2 weeks.
Uh-huh.
And all of a sudden, some kind of, like, retarded guy comes up to me.
Mm-hmm.
He starts yelling at me about how there was, like, no Schmitz beer. And he's like, drooling. I had no clue what he was talking about.
Well, I have to warn you about someone who is wondering where the Schmitz beer is can't be all there. If he likes Schmitz, man.
I don't know. That's what I said. I was like, well, get a better beer. And he's like, well, I have to have my Schmitz.
Then the guy really is off the wall. He really is off the wall. Give him something, a viable alternative, like Meisterbrow.
And then he was asking me about some ice cream that was supposed to be on sale that wasn't there in the stock or something.
Right. Oh, yeah.
What the hell are you talking about?
Yeah. Well, I guess you were really turned off when he started asking for Schmitz.
Yeah, that was the first... Well, when he first started drooling, that really turned me off in the beginning, but...
Yeah. Well, actually, the drooling made sense after he started asking for Schmitz. Because not only does he drool, but he has no taste. So, what can he do?
And then he was trying to get in my face or something. I don't know.
It's... Oh, wait a minute. Like Schmitz, drools, and also drools in your face? Ooh.
He was getting in my face and trying to yell at me or whatever. I have absolutely no clue what the hell the guy was talking about.
Yeah, that's the salesman's nightmare when you have to deal with customers like that. But you have to be as courteous and nice as you possibly can. Try to help them as much as you possibly can, and then get them the hell out the door. That's. I also noticed from my own experience. From my own experience is those types of customers, the ones that are virtually impossible to satisfy, they're the ones you have to work hardest at satisfying, because as soon as you do, you get them out of there.
Yeah.
Yeah, the faster you work with them, the faster you get them out.
He was talking for like a half an hour, and he did not shut up.
Oh, boy.
And he just kept on getting in my face, and I was trying to do my job, and he wouldn't let me go home.
Yeah. I hear you. Got it. Did you have a manager around at all?
Nah, there was this kid, and... He was there. He's been there like a year or whatever.
Oh, it's in that kind of situation. Okay.
Yeah, so I asked him. I was like, what the hell is going on? And he tried to help, and he didn't do crap.
Yeah. When you have managers in supermarkets, they're not much better off than you are in many cases. They either have no authority, or they're not particularly bright, or they don't care.
Yeah, I don't, the guy that was in charge of stock was like this fat slob who just wandered around the store.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, I didn't like him.
It seems that everybody I know who's ever worked in a supermarket hated their boss. Actually, that applies to just about any job, but more so supermarkets.
I got fired because I didn't want to work the cash register.
Yeah.
But meanwhile, they hired me for a different position.
Mm-hmm.
Now I got kind of pissed because the front end lady, whatever, she called me up and she said that we need people to run the cash register. And I said that I didn't want to do it. And she said, well, if you don't run the cash register, then you don't work anymore. And she's like, do you work anymore? I said, oh, I guess not. She's like, all right.
Well, that's interesting. I guess Waldmams is non-union.
No, it is. It has a union. You have to wait. Like, I got my union card like 2 weeks after I got fired.
Yeah.
So, they have a union there, though.
Yeah. But once you're in the union, they can't do that to you.
For one of my teachers, we were talking about it in class, and he said I could probably got my job back if I went to the union.
Yeah, but would you have wanted it?
That's right. That's why I didn't go back. I really, really didn't want my job back.
Yeah. It's like, it's a rather dubious honor to get the job that you really didn't want back. It's like, I once quit a job, and one of my worst nightmares was getting a call from my former employer asking me to come back. I said, no. I left for a reason. Matter of fact, there was one job where I was asked to come back, and I said straight out, forget it. Obviously, because... I worked in one of the major department stores. I'm not going to divulge which one because it really isn't necessary. I quit because they were really cheap on a raise. I had an excellent review, and they really skimped on my semi-annual raise, which would have been small to begin with, but it was ridiculous. So I said, the hell with this. I had another job already, and finals were coming up. So, well, I'm getting the hell out of here while I can avoid being stressed out during finals. And sure enough, a few months later, there's a new manager in. I knew the girl, from another department, but still, she asked me to come back. And I laughed. I laughed, and I just couldn't believe it. I mean, you guys wanted me out of there to begin with. Why do you want me back? Now, it's obvious you wanted me out of there with that crappy raise you gave me.
Because at Warbound, I was getting crap pay, and I was thinking,
crap pay, crap treatment, crap everything.
Yeah.
That's the kind of job you take when no other job is available.
That's what happened. I needed money desperately, so I just...
That's right.
For a now hiring sign.
And the thing that bugs the hell out of you is that they know that, too, and they treat you that way.
Yeah.
They treat you like you're in grade school, and they also treat you like a common criminal because they assume everybody's ripping them off. Now, in many cases, everybody is ripping them off, but since they hire just about anybody, that's what they get.
I was in Wobbams the other day, and I saw that same guy that came up to me for the Schmitz beer.
Yeah.
He was harassing someone else that worked there.
Oh, God.
I started dying laughing because I saw him then. Also, that's the other person.
Yeah. You see all kinds. One thing about a small specialty store, it's a limited audience. It's going to be certain types of people who are going to go in to buy the certain type of merchandise you're selling. And if it's the, I shouldn't say the right type, but if you're in the right market, you're not going to see that so much.
Mm.
If you're selling computer software, you're not going to see somebody drooling all over you and asking for Schmitz beer. That's not going to happen. Now, what he's probably going to ask for is the CPM version of Space Invaders. Yeah, obsolete operating system, obsolete game. You won't have it because no one will have had it since 1978 for his TI home computer, which means it's a cartridge for a computer that was on the market for about a month. And then was discarded. Or better yet, his Osborne. That's the one.
Okay.
Yeah, you probably don't even know what these computers are.
I know what Space Invaders is.
Yeah. Or his Atari 400. Ever see one of those?
Yeah, he's bad at that.
Oh, man. I learned how to program on a TRS-80. I felt really old when I saw one on display in the Smithsonian. Smithsonian. God. The Information Age display in the Smithsonian. I said, oh, my God, am I old. Including the first Apple was there, too. But it had a wooden box. It was a keyboard in a wooden box.
Oh.
Effectively what the first Apple was. We've come a long way, haven't we?
Yeah.
I remember when the IBM personal computer was introduced, it had a 16K RAM.
I have a computer downstairs in the basement, and looks absolutely nothing like the computers from today.
Oh, yeah, and that was only like 14 years ago.
I got it when, like, back in the day.
Yeah, a friend of mine has an Apple IIc.
Yeah,
God, that's a toy.
Yeah.
Oh, did you ever see 8-inch floppy disks? Not the 5 1/4, 8-inch.
8-inch?
Yeah, huge. Huge floppies. We have this clunky old computer that we used to do, generate program logs and stuff like that at the station. It has a 64K RAM. The thing is about the size of a bookshelf stereo system. The computer, just the CPU, okay, is that size. No, I take that back. That's the disk drives. This thing is a clunker. But no one's ever seen the need to replace it. But this thing is a clunker. I don't even bother to use it anymore. We have a 286, an XT, an 8088 processor, another one here that we use for inventorying records. Another clunker. Ancient.
High-tech stuff.
I mean, this stuff you can get for free if you look in the dumpsters in the back of computer shops. Oh, God. I remember we had an XT back at work. We replaced everything with 486s. I had 7 486s in my lab. And we had an old XT there. Do you really believe that they couldn't give it away? Nobody wanted it?
Who would?
It had WordPerfect 5.1 on it, but nobody wanted it. It's an old piece of junk. What am I going to do with that thing? Incredible. How far? That had 640K memory at least, but that thing was ancient too. How far we've come.
Yeah. technology today.
Yeah, and it just keeps going, forging ahead. What you bought 3 months ago is now obsolete. But, hey, now I'm just looking for an external CD-ROM. Okay, I have to go now. I only have 7 minutes left in the show, but thanks for calling.
Hey, all right.
See ya. Brain damage.
Yeah, am I in here yet?
Yeah, you are.
Hey, my name is Libby Badstool. Hey, it was my first time calling.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't know what's happening tonight because I just got back from the club, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah, I know what you're saying. We've been talking about a lot of nothing, a typical brain-damaged evening. What would you like to talk about tonight?
Yeah, anything is good for Lippy.
Anything's good for Felipe?
Lippy. That's
cool. Lippy.
Lippy, that's so coolest cat around.
Coolest cat around. Why are you coolest cat around?
Well, the females now.
Oh, tell me.
Yeah, well, I was playing some nice tunes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, a couple of fire ladies.
Uh-huh.
Came up to Lippy. Oh, could you hold on a second? Could you turn up the volume of my voice? Because I want to get out to the car.
Okay, yes. It's up there, Lippy.
You sure, man?
Yeah, it's up there. Trust me.
A couple of fine young ladies just came up and they said, Lippy, you a Lippy bastard? And I was like, who wants to know, honey? And they were like, well, we do, sugar. And I was like, yep, you looking for Lippy? They got Lippy. Lippy with the luscious lips. That's right. Because I got luscious lips, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
If you know what I'm saying.
I know what you're saying.
So I said, what's your name, honey? And they were like, Lippy, I am Hakeem. And I said, Hakeem, what kind of name is that? Come on now. No such thing as Hakeem, right? Am I right in my room?
Well, there's a guy who plays with the Houston Rockets named Hakeem.
Hakeema. This fine lady was Hakeema.
Hakeema.
No? Okay. Lippy Batson sees Hakeema, and don't fit the picture at all.
Okay.
Anyway, and I said to the fine lady, what's your name, sugar? And she said, wouldn't you want to know? And I was like, what? Nobody says that to Lippy. Nobody says it's Lippy. No, I say Lippy. When Lippy wants the number, Lippy gets lost in Lippers. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you're saying.
Hey, hold on a second. My friend wants to talk to you, okay?
Okay.
Well, I am Gold Car. I told you I would take over your radio station. I'm doing it now. I am looking down to all you feeble-minded morons listening to your show. I am in your minds, and I am destroying them as you listen.
No wonder they're feeble-minded.
What do you have to say about this?
No wonder they're feeble-minded.
Because I'm destroying their minds just like yours.
I love that button. Brain damage.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, Brain Damage. How we doing?
Pretty good.
That was a pretty good cake song.
Yeah, he's a master at it.
I think Duncan Hines would be proud of that one.
Well, you see, once they pay off the copyright and get the tune right, Tony Thomas could make a killing off those lyrics.
Yeah, he's good. He's good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I heard you mention Chaminade earlier.
Yeah.
And you hit it on the head. My son goes to Kellenberg, which used to be.
Yeah. Is Gumby still a principal there?
Huh?
Gumby.
They
still call him Gumby?
Yeah, they sure do.
Oh, God. He took over that school 10 years ago. I had to suffer with him for 4 years myself.
But you hit it on the head when you said they have the one blazer. It's in the locker.
Mm-hmm.
Never come home.
Never comes home. You see it in June. That's when you see it. It goes in September.
Throw it away or trade it for a new one.
Oh, God. Yeah. Well, what we used to do is we used to have a ceremony with it. I had a really nice one that I actually got 3 years out of, believe it or not. I was a master at making things last. But by senior year, it looked like hell. But it was a badge of honor if you could get that much life out of a blazer. But what we used to do, the guys whose blazers had it, we used to have a tearing up ceremony at the end of the year. And we used to, you know,
shred them,
have tug-of-wars with them when they were on the guy's back. And they didn't mind. You know, one guy would grab one sleeve, one guy would grab the other sleeve while it was on the guy.
And rip it off.
Yeah, rip it right off.
Exactly. Oh, some of the stuff we used to do with that.
Good old Catholic schools.
Good old Catholic schools. Not what the image portrays. Not even in the slightest. Which is
one
good thing. Well, the image is prim and proper. Nice, quiet guys with their hands folded on their desks, and they're all. And everybody thinks anybody who goes to an old Catholic boys' school is a wuss. I got news for you. It does not work that way because the wussies usually get weeded out by mid freshman year.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, because otherwise the wussies are the ones that get beat up all the time.
He's a junior now, but he's a good student.
Yeah, they do encourage good academics, and we do. We used to compete with each other. It was a very competitive environment. There was one time where, I'll give you an example. I used to ace French all the time. I was so good in the subject that my teacher used to let me sleep through class so long as I didn't snore.
Okay.
Because if you're running 100 average, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. That's what his philosophy was. Well, one time I finished a test really early, and I had a composition due in English class the next period. So I asked my teacher if I could take out my English book while I was waiting for everybody else to finish. And he said, yeah, sure. And I did. Wrote my composition. And what was even funnier is that later on that day, everybody was saying, oh, you were cheated on the French test. And I said, why would I have the slightest need to cheat on a test when I'm running 100 average in the stupid class?
You allowed to snore in French, at least, if you did snore?
There were a couple of times where I did get caught snoring, and you'd always have the guy behind me kind of wake me up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's like, well, what's going on? What's going on? It's like, don't worry about it. Go back to sleep. Hey, you're just snoring.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot for calling. This is WUS.
Yeah.
Got to be very quick because it's 2 o'clock.
Yeah, no, my girlfriend's got two boys. They're both honor students. One has green hair.
Uh-huh.
And the other one shaved the middle of his head, and he looks like one of the guys that came out of the dam in that Superman movie. Yeah, the old Superman.
What school are they in?
And these are honor students, and it's just that's their image. They go to public school, but
yeah, they wouldn't last a week in Chaminade. Green hair doesn't go over. It doesn't go over the teachers, and it actually doesn't go over with the students. Back in the days when designer jeans were in, back in the early 80s when I was there,
yeah,
weren't allowed to wear them. And not, you know, designer anything. Anything with a designer label on it showing inside the clothing was fine. Brooks Brothers was fine because it was inside. If you had your designer labels on the outside, you'd catch hell for it.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
From the students, not from the teachers.
Well, hang in there, big guy.
Okay, thanks a lot for calling.
Have a good night.
You too. It's 2 o'clock. You're listening to the place where we understand sick behavior, WUSB Stony Brook. Gary Pecorino is up next, and I am out of here. Oh, yeah, by the way, WUSB-FM, SUNY at Stony Brook, Stony Brook, New York, 11794. This week is the last week you can send entries in. Get them out there. Anyone can host. Send it to Matt. Bye-bye. Thank you.